third and four for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
And this is WZBC Sports.
Episode 5 of our podcast. I'm Matt Satilli, and I am joined here by friend and fellow board member, Kyle Maslin. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Matt. Enjoying a nice brisk fall day here in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
Always good to hear. It's also better enjoying an afternoon following a BC win. We're here to talk about BC's last game against Louisville. We're going to preview Virginia. And we're also going to touch on our midseason expectations as well as talk about what we think BC needs to do to be bowl eligible and some final record predictions. So with that being said, BC played Louisville, traveled down to Louisville last Saturday, and we were treated to the breakout of A.J. Dillon. Kyle, what did you think of the game?
I mean, it had ebbs and flows. The first half looked like what most people suspected. It was a 24-7 lead for Louisville. The offense looked stagnant, and Lamar Jackson looked like he was on the verge of breaking out, which was what most people expected coming off of what last year was a 52-7 throttling up here in Chestnut Hill. But the second half, everything changed. A.J. Dillon started getting all the handoffs, and he looked like a grown man. That's that four-star recruit who Harbaugh was trying to get but couldn't. He's could be the face of the program going forward. He really could. He's a freshman. He's going here for 3-4 more years. Hoping he stays. Assuming he stays. And he had 272 yards, 4 total touchdowns. It looked like a man carrying the ball. He's 240, 250 pounds. The stiff arm that he had, it ruined the family of that safety.
Chucky Williams.
I was like, A.J. Dillon, Chucky Williams, he has a mother. He at least used to have a girlfriend before you just embarrassed him and took his manhood on national television. It was the most impressive single football feat I had seen in a very, very long time.
And you mentioned that A.J. Dillon stiff arm. Of course, we're going to break down the whole Louisville game, but we can't help but to start with the A.J. Dillon stiff arm. It's in the fourth quarter. It's a tight game. It's the first play of the possession. They have the ball at their own 25. Dillon takes the ball. He sheds a defender that dives towards him, takes out Chucky Williams with one of the most disrespectful stiff arms I've ever seen, and then turns on the Jets, beats two defenders to the sideline, goes 75 yards to the house. It was unreal. And he's a true freshman, like you mentioned, four-star recruit who flipped his recruitment from Michigan to BC. And I think it's nothing but positivity that the program's looking at with both Hellman and then Dillon now in the backfield getting most of the carries, looking for the next few years ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, Adazio, he runs a run-heavy offense, and having a dynamic back is what helps. I mean, Andre Williams rode this offense, similar scheme, different offensive coordinator, but similar scheme, into Heisman competition. He ran for over 2,000 yards in the first or second year of Adazio's time here. And A.J. Dillon seems to be a far more, at least athletically, talented back than either Andre Williams, who made it to the NFL, or John Hillman, who could eventually after this season. But he looks dynamic. He looks fast. He's a mean runner. But even though he's a mean runner, he's patient. He stops. He looks for holes. He finds the best running lane, which Hillman doesn't always do. That's always my biggest complaint with him, is that he just kind of burrs his head down, runs into his offensive lineman's back, and gets a yard, maybe two. Dillon is a more patient back, and then he brings that physicality. Once he finds that hole and can push through it and then gain, instead of just getting the ball, putting his head down, and going straight forward.
And I like that, because you see BC employ a lot of end-around options, a lot of jet sweeps. But A.J. Dillon is that young back that's not afraid to be patient, not afraid to find a gap in the line. And then you mentioned once he finds that gap, he's physical, he's able to be shifty and move east and west. And he actually had 39 total carries, which was fifth most in program history for a single game against Louisville. So he's showing his durability, and he's young. They've been featuring more often. Last week he was named the ACC Co-Offensive Back of the Week. as well as the ACC Rookie of the Week. A couple accolades to his name. Not a bad way to start off your true freshman campaign. And most of all, he single-handedly put the BC offense on his back. He had four touchdowns, all of which came at big times. He had one run where he split in between the left tackle and the left guard, found a hole, found his way to the end zone, and then he capped off a monster day with his fourth score, which will live on in BC highlight reels, I think, for the next decade. It was an incredibly invigorating play.
Yeah, I mean, every single touchdown the BC scored was clutch. When you win by three, every single touchdown is a big moment. And they were never up by more. I think the biggest lead was 14 points. But when you're coming down from 14, up 14 with Lamar Jackson on their side was never safe, as proven by the fact that they had to have a game-winning field goal as time expired. 45 points was the most points scored by an Adazio offense in ACC conference play. It was the second most I've seen in my 2.5 seasons as a BC football fan, only beaten by the 76-0 embarrassment of Howard in the second week of my freshman year, which was...
Howard called the game after three quarters.
Something to behold. The second half, because it was 56-0 at halftime, Howard got negative yards, was ran with a 10-minute constantly running clock. This was the most impressive game I had seen from a BC team in my time. Some seniors might argue USC is a better game, also considering that it was home. But this was the single best full game that I had seen as a BC student, and it goes up there as one of the best sporting events I've seen as a BC student, only rivaled by some BC hockey wins.
And you mentioned some seniors might rival that to USC, that being a home game. But I think that that kind of speaks to the toughness of this team and their mentality when they go on the road. They were able to squeak out a close win against Northern Illinois to open up the season. It was Anthony Brown's first game with the program, actually with a year of eligibility under his belt. And they lost to Clemson, but they only contained Clemson to 7 points on the road through the first three quarters. And then they beat Louisville. Their two ACC wins last year came on the road against Wake Forest to secure bowl eligibility and came on the road against NC State. So I think that kind of speaks to this team's mental toughness, you know, when it comes to going on the road and getting jobs done. And you also mentioned they did do a good job of containing Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson last year, 7 touchdowns in only 3 quarters of play. He had 3 through the air, 4 on the ground. This year, I think the linebackers did a better job containing him in that 5 to 10 yard range, even though he was able to still use his speed to kind of get away from those end rushers. He didn't have a lot of explosive runs that killed BC. I believe he had 1 touchdown that was for a little bit over 50 yards in the fourth. But other than that, you didn't see him scorching BC. You didn't see BC getting out of the game. One thing that I really liked was, you know, at times you could think to yourself, oh boy, here we go again. BC, good first half, playing well offensively. Lamar Jackson stormed back, led him to 2 straight touchdown drives. But BC played tough in the fourth quarter. Wyatt Ray had a huge interception off of Lamar Jackson. Cam Moore recovered a fumble with just under 2 minutes to go. And both of those set up crucial drives in which BC scored and was able to compete with Louisville offensively. You usually don't see that. That's not usually the case with BC. They're usually in tight defensive games. But I think that that was really impressive, and that was one of the big takeaways, was how confident the offense was and just how resilient they were in the fourth quarter when Louisville was storming back.
Especially with the backup quarterback. Anthony Brown re-injured his throwing shoulder and didn't come in. I believe he got pulled out in the middle of the first half or early second half. And he started off really hot and then cooled down and then got hurt. And Darius Wade came in after not having much playing time, and no meaningful playing time since my freshman year when he broke his leg against Florida State. And he balled out. He really did. He made good, quick decisions. He put a lot of throws on receivers. He missed a couple, but that's expected. But he had a lot of nice throws. He spearheaded long drives. And it was just an impressive outing by, I think he's now technically a senior or maybe even a graduate student. But he kind of took that poise from being an elder statesman on the team and didn't let the moment overtake him and was able to easily and composedly run BC drives and match Lamar Jackson score for score.
Absolutely. Darius Wade also responsible for the 1 fourth down in which BC ran their offense out onto the field. He was able to roll out and throw across his throwing shoulder. He rolled to his right and was able to deliver a strike to convert on fourth and one. That extended drive. That drive resulted in a touchdown. And he finished with a better stat line than Anthony Brown. You know, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but was able to go 7 for 10, was very strategic. He overthrew a few receivers, but for the most part, most of his passes were on point. They were passes that were selected for him, and he did the most with finding his receivers. One thing that I think went a little bit under the radar was BC committed one penalty that game for a total of 10 yards. Prior to that, you'd seen some movement on the offensive line. Obviously, center John Baker out for the season. You're dealing with a little bit of miscommunication. True freshman and Ben Petrula at center. But everyone really hunkered down, and there weren't any bad penalties. There weren't any silly mistakes that allowed Louisville to extend drives. And I think in a road environment, especially playing a team that you said beat us 52-7 last year, that's huge.
Yeah, no, it was a tremendous turnaround from the BC team from last year to this year, even from last game to this game. Last game, it was Central Michigan. Okay, they came off the Virginia Tech loss, my bad. They came off the Virginia Tech loss where it was 24-13, I believe, or 24-10, and the offense was night and day in 1 week. You didn't see anywhere near their explosivity on that night game here in Chestnut Hill, and it was great to see the offense become reimagined and the first true shootout I've seen as a BC fan, unless you count the bowl game last year against Maryland, where instead of a shootout like this was, it was more of one half for BC offense and another half the Maryland offense.
Absolutely. And BC, you mentioned on third down last week against Virginia Tech, they went 2 for 15. They were also 0 for 2 on fourth down. They also accumulated 5 penalties for 27 yards. This time around, 9 for 18 on third down. They were able to move the ball, move the chains, and keep themselves in the game with a pretty potent offense. Also, another crucial aspect of Saturday's game would be special teams, particularly Michael Walker. There was one play in particular, it was before halftime. Michael Walker fielded the ball at his own 15, bobbled it, was forced to turn around, scooped it up at the 10, rolled to his left, had a few jukes, few moves, moved the ball into Louisville territory, led to a touchdown, made it a 7-point game before the half. That kept BC in the game. You mentioned Louisville went up by 14. BC also had two 14-point leads, so fairly back-and-forth match. But Michael Walker's had a phenomenal year this year. Looking at his stats here, he has 19 punt returns for 320 yards along 61. He also has 19 kick returns for 433 yards. Kyle, what are you going to say about BC special teams? How do you think they've performed so far this year?
I mean, Michael Walker has been electric in the return game. He single-handedly basically beat Central Michigan with his return game, giving BC short fields constantly, especially the first half. The BC has very rarely been pinned inside their own 20 to 25-yard line to begin any drives, which has been clutch with mainly inexperienced players on offense, giving them breathing room, not having to wear out safeties, except for, I believe, the one time against Central Michigan where they had the safety. But for the most part, they've had really good starting field position. And that's a huge help to what can sometimes be a struggling offense to kind of pull them out of a rut. The punting has been very good. Mike Noah, I think, in pure yardage hasn't been great, but pinning teams inside their 20s has been fantastic. Again, kind of keeping with that field position, giving the defense a really great starting spot, has been a great job by Mike Noel. Colton Lichtenberg has been up and down. He was really up, though, coming off that game-winning field goal as time expired against Louisville. So it's really good to see that junior, after a shaky first 2 years, kind of claim that kicking role. He was very highly touted coming out of high school. But it's really nice to see him kind of cementing his role as the undisputed BC field goal kicker. Has that yet to miss an extra point this year, which is, again, something that had plagued him, and he's improved that much more. And on kickoffs, the Das Boot, Maximilian Schultz-Geistovel, has been great. He really has. He can kick that ball out of the end zone at will. He has the biggest leg I've seen on the BC team in my 3 years, and he's been a welcome addition to this team.
Absolutely. And going back to Lichtenberg for a second, he's 8-13 on the year. He's had a pretty good campaign, has solidified his role as the starting kicker that he lost at the beginning of last season. And even though he hasn't converted on many long field goals, his season long is 42, the one game where it really has mattered, he's come through in the clutch. And I think it was a little bit of an interesting coaching decision. Adazio didn't choose to put the ball in between the hashes. The ball was on the left side. He ran it out to the left. A.J. Dillon was down outside of the left hash mark. But Lichtenberg still put it directly through the middle of the uprights in a road environment, was able to give BC its first ACC win of the year, and I think still keep bowl eligibility in the picture.
Yeah, no, the win kept bowl eligibility as a possibility. If you were 2-5 and 0-5 in the ACC, it's a far cry from a bowl game. You would have needed to been perfect from there on out to be able to sniff postseason play. And maybe Lichtenberg said, I want it to the side instead of having a center. Maybe that was where he felt more comfortable kicking the ball, in which case, good job, Adazio. And the win was needed. Otherwise, there would have been mass mutinies by BC fan bases and counting down till the end of the season, more so than enjoying the rest of it. So speaking of that, we have 7 games down, 5 games left in the regular season. The remaining schedule is we go this Saturday at 12:30 to Virginia. It'll be broadcasted on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM, as every BC football game is. Shameless plug.
Absolutely.
We then have the Friday night game the following week here, Florida State, Jake DiLorenzo and myself on the call. I believe it's at 8 o'clock for kickoff against Florida State for the Red Bandana game, honoring the late, great Wells Crowther. We then have the bye week. Then we go de facto home game, senior day, NC State. Then we have a de facto home game at Fenway Park against UConn. Then we end rivalry week after Thanksgiving in the Carrier Dome to play the Syracuse Orange, who just had a huge win against Clemson. But I don't think anyone's going to consider Syracuse fantastic. No one's, I think, going to say they're an unbeatable team.
Right.
They have good offense, good quarterback, good coach, but they're not unbeatable. They're not an unstoppable force. They had a really great game against Clemson. No one can take anything away from that win. But you're not scared of them in the same way that you can be scared of a Clemson, that you were scared walking into Louisville. Florida State isn't even that scary this year. Florida State's not that great this year. I think NC State's a better team than Florida State at this point of the year.
Right. I think something should be said about Syracuse's coaching plan and how they approached the game and how they really, really took it to Clemson. I think something also can be said for Kelly Bryant leaving in the third quarter with a concussion. That's something you have to keep in mind. Last year, they played here at Alumni, and it was a rainy day. It was kind of a low-scoring, grinded-out game. Syracuse came out on top, but you essentially have to win against UConn at Fenway Park. No road to bowl eligibility will go without a win against UConn. You have a team in Virginia who has played 2 ACC games so far this year. They beat North Carolina. North Carolina is winless in ACC play, arguably probably the cellar dweller in the, not just the coastal, but in the entire ACC. And then you have Florida State, which is going to be a night game. I think that within those 5, there are absolutely 3 that are winnable. You were able to get a win at NC State last year. NC State is a very quality team this year. They beat Louisville at home. They are currently first in the Atlantic Division, and they control their own destiny. But I think you have a BC team that is really coming together at a crucial time. After the Virginia Tech game, Steve Adazio famously said in the post-game press conference that when this team comes together, it will be a beautiful thing, and he expressed his faith in it happening. You know, you never know. BC carrying a lot of momentum over from Saturday, and I think we can kind of look ahead to the Virginia game, take a look at it. BC opened up as a 7-point underdog, and I think they're going to be going into Charlottesville with a lot of momentum, a lot of swagger, and coming off of a big win, they'll be a little more battle-tested than Virginia, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that matchup.
Without a doubt, they played a harder schedule. There's no way you can shake it to say that BC hasn't played a harder schedule than Virginia. We've played Notre Dame. We've played Clemson. We've played Louisville. We've played Virginia Tech. Those are all high-quality teams. Wake Forest is having a nice year. You have the two MAC teams, but everyone kind of plays FCS MAC opponents. It's part of every single Power 5 schedule. And Virginia has excelled in what they've done, but there's something said for weakness of schedule. Bronco Mendenhall's done a very nice job. I mean, last year they were 2-10 and got blown out by their FCS opponent in Richmond. They were a tremendous work in progress looked at entering the season. They've overachieved by every single preseason measure imaginable, even by the diehard fans in Charlottesville. The big question is, can BC rally on the road back-to-back weeks? Because playing on the road is tough. You're in unfamiliar atmosphere, unfamiliar beds, a angry crowd, as many ACC teams can have their fan bases come out and really create a hostile environment for the games. But if BC can step up, and if they can play and channel their Louisville game, by all means, they could beat Louisville. Beat Virginia, I should say. I think it's a must-win if they want to look for the bowl game. I think Virginia's the win you need to have. I think UConn's the win you need to have. Then you have three other games you need to pick one. You have Syracuse, NC State, and Florida State. If you win one of those three, and you take care of business, Virginia and UConn, there's your sixth, there's your bowl, there's your postseason play.
Absolutely. And I think that there's also something to be said about how this team has stayed in games. Personally, last year was my freshman year, first year at BC, actually being exposed to the football team and passionately rooting for them. And they got destroyed by Virginia Tech, destroyed by Clemson, destroyed by Louisville, destroyed by Florida State. This year, they hung in there with Clemson. Yes, Clemson was able to run away in the fourth quarter, but they beat Louisville on the road. Wake Forest wasn't pretty, but that was their biggest deficit all year. They lost by 24, which doesn't look awful on paper. They were coming in, you know, it was going to be a toss-up between two teams that were pretty similar in the ACC last season. But BC's defense has given them the ability to hang around in games, and with the breakout of A.J. Dillon and with a little more development in the offense, especially with Anthony Brown, this being his first year, I think that you have to have a little more confidence, and there's a little more element of surprise when it comes to BC going into games rather than last year, where sometimes you'd see the first 10 minutes of the game and you'd immediately count them out. So I commend our defense for keeping us into games and for not getting their doors blown off, especially like we talked about, Lamar Jackson didn't have a monster game against us. BC is also a team that's had to deal with a lot of injuries so far this year. If you look at the injury report, linebacker Connor Strahan out for the season with a knee injury. Linebacker Max Richardson out indefinitely with a knee injury. Charlie Callinan is out indefinitely. He's a wide receiver dealing with a foot injury. Our starting center, we mentioned earlier, John Baker out for the season. We have a true freshman, Ben Petrula, who has actually stepped in quite nicely. Anthony Brown is questionable Saturday with a shoulder injury, as we mentioned. And then you also have an O-lineman, Shane Leonard, who is out for the season with a knee injury. So they definitely have had to face a little adversity and haven't had all their guys at full strength this year.
No, they've definitely faced adversity and injury, but it's football. Every single team has injuries. No one makes it through a season healthy. It's just not the way it works in a violent contact sport like tackle football, NFL, college football. No one ends the year unscathed and touched by injury. It's unfortunate that it happened, and it's really painful when it happens to your top players. As a Packer fan, you are very familiar with this right now.
Oh, yes.
But Connor Strahan was probably preseason the second best player on the team. John Baker was one of the five best players on the team this year. Callinan has been a very good receiver. He had two touchdowns against Notre Dame. Max Richardson played very well in Strahan's absence. Brown will wait and see what his status is week to week. And then Leonard, I mean, the offensive line has played fantastic, especially lately. They started off a little rough, but as the season progressed, they've really gelled, which is what you look to see from an offensive line going forward. And while injuries are unfortunate, it's hard to use them as a very big excuse because there's no team that leaves healthy. and just love to see the team have the depth and the ability to use their gut and kind of rally around the guys who are in the locker room, who are able to dress up, who are able to fight for one another, and able to win.
Absolutely. You mentioned that injury to Aaron Rodgers. I am a diehard Packers fan. Prayers up to Aaron. Go Pack, go. But back to the more important matter at hand. There are a couple positions that they are prominent positions. They're definitely positions that have been looked at in the last few weeks as being more competitive. Talking particular in relation to the quarterback battle. You saw Anthony Brown leave in the third quarter against Louisville. Brown, during that game, finished 5-for-17, had 100 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Darius Wade, the grad senior, on the flip hand, finished with a comfortable 7-for-10, 91 yards. You also have the development of A.J. Dillon, and kind of you can see the trust that Adazio is putting in him. He's been featured a lot more heavily lately, and you could see him with the potential to take over the RB1 position very, very soon. So, you know, what are your thoughts on these two position battles, what you expect to see going forward, particular Saturday, and then maybe towards the second half of the season?
Well, looking forward, let's start at quarterback. Anthony Brown, if healthy, will start. Adazio came out and said just as much on his Monday press conference. It might have even been the Sunday night press conference. But he said that Brown is a starter. He was hurt. He didn't lose the job. If he's healthy, he will start. There's no controversy there. And I think it's good because I think BC's had a lot of one-year quarterbacks. You had Tyler Murphy for a year. You had Wade, who was supposed to be a long-term quarterback but got hurt. You had Tolles for a year. And now if you go back to Wade, it's just for the rest of the season, then he's gone. He's out of eligibility. But Brown, if you play him, he can play for another 3 years after this. You want to get that continuity running. You want to get that experience in there. You want to go for the long haul. Football, yes, it's easy to turn around a program, but you got to look at a guy and say, I can have you for 3 years. I can have you for 4 years. I want to ride you for that long. I don't want to have you sit on the bench, use you for a year, and find someone else. On the other hand, if we look at the running back position, the incumbent should no longer be. John Hilleman should be a goal line back. He doesn't break the same long runs that we saw his freshman year. And A.J. Dillon showed that he's a man's man and can come up and fight with the best of them in D1 ACC play. A.J. Dillon better be getting the bulk of the handoffs every week going forward this year. He proved that he's the best back in that backfield. He proved that he's the fastest, the most patient, has the best eyes. It needs to be A.J. Dillon time.
Yeah, A.J. Dillon is probably one of the most physical beasts of an 18-year-old that I've ever seen. He has more touches on the year than John Hilleman. Dillon has 127 rushes as opposed to Hilleman's 106. You know, Hilleman is more of a threat in the receiving game. He's got two receiving touchdowns to pair with his three touchdowns on the ground. But even then, A.J. Dillon's four-touchdown game, you can't help but to get excited about what could be in the next 2 to 3 years of the program. You got Anthony Brown, who I think has shown really good competence in throwing the ball downfield. He's been good leading two-minute drives before halves. You know, BC tends to go with more of a conservative play call, but when that's increased and when they aren't afraid to air it out and go no huddle in the last 2 minutes of the half, Anthony Brown's shown a lot of composure and a lot of toughness. I think with Darius Wade, you kind of know what you're going to get. He's been around the program long enough. Yes, he's mobile. Yes, he is a good passer in the pocket, but he doesn't have that consistency that you need to see out of a player, especially in his last year of eligibility, to move forward with going in him. And I think that Anthony Brown, any reps he can get with the first team, any game experience he can get, is not going to hurt. I think there's a lot of excitement to be had about redshirt freshman Anthony Brown and true freshman A.J. Dillon. I feel like that's a big combo that you could be seeing for the next few years here at the Heights.
I agree 100%. Let's wrap this up. Let's not give the score because we're saving that for our article that will come out later this week. But do you have BC or do you have Virginia?
I have BC. It might be a little biased, but you have a hungry team that's been kind of shunned in terms of any discussion amongst teams that can compete in the ACC. You know, rightfully so. They were able to reel off two late wins in the ACC last season. But at the same time, you have a team that's got nothing to lose and has all the momentum and I think should have all the internal motivation they need to go into Virginia and to compete. I think whenever you get a team that has had a little bit of a rough history in the last few years and they're able to get a big marquee win, you kind of saw that with NC State last year. That was their first win in over 18 months against a football opponent in the ACC. I think BC can do it. I think that if they continue with A.J. Dillon and assuming Anthony Brown will be healthy, I think that this is an offense that really kind of showed its potential last Saturday. They put up 45 points. You mentioned earlier it was the most in the Steve Adazio era in an ACC road game, and it was the most ever under Adazio against a Power 5 opponent. So I'm rolling with BC. You know, they're seven-point dogs. They're going into enemy territory, but I don't think that there's enough for me to rule them out in terms of getting their second ACC win. This is only their second opportunity, or I'm sorry, not their second opportunity, but if they were to get a win, it would be their second back-to-back ACC victories under Adazio. And honestly, I think that they're going to go into Charlottesville with a big chip on their shoulder, and if they continue the game plan they showed against Louisville, I don't think there's anything that shows me that they can't win and compete.
I agree with you. And my single basis is BC is battle-tested. They've played some of the best this year. Virginia has not. And that's where my line in the sand gets drawn. I think BC has a lot more fight in them than Virginia. Virginia's played bad teams and beaten bad teams. BC's lost to some good teams. But they at least played good teams, which Virginia has yet to do. I think BC can outfight Virginia because they know how important this game is going forward. Well, Virginia's only one win away from clinching bowl eligibility, and they've already more than doubled last year's win total. So I think I'm agree with you. I think it's going to be a BC victory, and BC be back to 500 at 4-4 with four games to go.
That'd be awesome if they were able to notch their second ACC win of the year, move to 500, keep bowl eligibility in the conversation. So we'll look to see if BC can pull it off. That is, once again, this Saturday at 12:30 p.m. down in Charlottesville. You can hear that on 90.3 FM WZBC Newton. And, of course, the guys will be in the booth calling it for WZBC Sports Radio, as with all your football, basketball, hockey, and baseball games this season. So, Kyle, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining me today. Along with Kyle Maslin, I am Matt Satilli, and you are listening to the WZBC Sports Radio Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot! Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Pot Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.